Margaret McBride, kiddie.
The Fred Allen Show, with Fred's guest, Monty Woolley, Portland Hoffa, Minerva Pius as Mrs. Nussbaum, the DeMarco sisters, and Al Goodman in his orchestra. And if you ever want to look me up in the phone book, girls, my name is Kenny Delmar. This week, ladies and gentlemen, the New American Magazine is on the stand. It contains the life story of Fred Allen. Millions of readers are saying, who is Fred Allen? There is only one answer to this Fred Allen question, and here it is. Fred Allen.
Thank you, and good evening. This is Fred Allen, in case there is any doubt, ladies and gentlemen, in case the name didn't come up earlier in the program. And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Say, tell me, Kenny, did you happen to read the story of my life in the American magazine?
No, Fred. What is it, one of those rags-to-riches yarns?
No, it's from rags to rags, Kenny. I hold my own in the story. You know, I was born in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Oh, that must have been a long time ago.
Yes, Kenny, there was no bird life in Cambridge in those days. The stork used to bring his bundles only as far as Boston, and the American Express delivered the babies the rest of the way.
You were born in a small town.
Cambridge was so small, when the Siamese twins stood on the main street, one of the twins was out of town, Kenny. Cambridge was so far back in the woods those days, the mayor was an owl. He used to molt every 2 years and get back in office again.
Well, what happened when you got older, Fred?
Well, when I was 15, my voice changed and I joined the church choir.
You were a choir boy?
Yes, Kenny. The first Sunday I sang in church, 200 people changed their religion. I started singing one of... Well, Portland. Yeah, just as I was... You're just in time, Portland. It's time to strike out for Allen's Alley.
Oh, have you a question for tonight?
Ah, you bet. You know, this past week, a Senate subcommittee published a list of new inventions. Aluminum and glass clothing and electrical gadgets who will greatly influence our post-war lives. And so our question tonight is, how do you think these new scientific developments are going to affect you?
Shall we go?
As one anchor said to the other anchor, let's away. Well, here we are back in Allen's Alley, Portland. Say, I wonder if the senator had to run for re-election last week. Let's see.
Somebody knock.
Yes.
Yeah, vote yes, for Claghorn. Senator Claghorn, that is.
Now, wait.
Joke.
I know.
They keep going over your head.
Well, I know that. I don't care.
Yeah, if you're listening, you should be laughing.
Well, I'm doing it. Put points on my words. I'll get one in edgewise. Now, look, are you through, Senator, temporarily?
Yeah.
Can I
have
the
phone?
Yes, look, Senator, are you upset about these new post-war inventions?
Well, there's only one thing that's got me worried, son.
What's that?
Them new aluminum suits for men.
Aluminum suits?
If they take all of America's kitchen utensils to make aluminum suits...
Yes?
The taxpayer will be caught with his pants down. Come on,
so long.
See you in the elbow.
Well, the senator shouldn't worry about aluminum. He should worry about getting the lead out. I wonder if Titus Moody is in tonight.
Howdy, Bob.
Well, Mr. Moody, have you tried any of these post-war ideas?
Yeah, I started feeding my sheep ironized yeast.
Feeding your sheep ironized yeast?
I was trying to grow steel wool.
Well, tell me, how did your experiment work out?
Not so good, Bob.
No?
Just did rain.
Yes?
Today I got 500 rusty sheep.
I've never heard of rust taking it on the land, but I guess you have. Tell me, Mr. Moody, have you had any other trouble with these new gadgets?
Yeah, an automatic milking machine picked up.
How?
I had the machine hooked onto my cow, milking.
Yeah.
I went to bed and forgot to turn it off.
You left the milking machine running all night? Well, what happened?
Milk the cow inside out.
Didn't it ruin the cow?
No. She's still giving milk.
Yes.
But the cream is on the bottom.
I should have asked Mr. Moody to do a few curd tricks while he was here. Well, let's try this next house here.
No.
Ah, Mrs. Nussbaum.
You're expecting maybe Lauren Bagel?
Tell me, Tell me, Mrs. Nussbaum, are you in favor of these inventions to improve modern living?
Forward with science. This is my
next
slogan.
Forward with science. Have you tried any of these new household gadgets?
Matt. I am buying a magic Davenport.
What is a magic Davenport? First,
it is only a Davenport.
Where does the magic come in?
You are pushing a button. Presto, the Davenport is hiding in the wall.
Oh, good.
You are pushing another button. Tango, the Davenport is coming out of the wall of bed.
Say, that is magic.
Magic, tragic. It is making me a widow.
What happened?
My husband, Pierre, is sitting on the Davenport.
Yeah?
Presto, the Davenport is hiding in the wall.
Yes?
Tango is staying there.
Your husband, Pierre, is trapped in the wall?
Before Nazareth.
And is Pierre still alive?
We are feeding him through the wall, a knothole.
Well, what is Pierre eating?
Frankfurt is one at a time.
Well, after this experience, I guess you didn't buy any other new items.
Only one.
Which one?
We are making shoes from soybeans. I'm buying 2 pairs.
Oh, you like your soybean shoes?
Detective, they are delicious.
All right.
Thank you.
That brings us to the last shack in the alley. And now here should certainly start something.
Oh, it's you, Saggy Eyes.
Well, McGee and McGee. Now, something tells me you boys have a new song for tonight.
Have you heard? When it's tulip time in Toledo's Aluma, I'll have tulips waiting for you.
Now, wait a minute. Look, tonight we are discussing post-war innovation.
Great. We got a song about these new glass suits.
Glass suits?
Yeah.
I'll be seeing you in all the old premieres.
Thank you, McGee and McGee. You're not true. That's what you think. And now for some singing. Now for some singing that's worthwhile, ladies and gentlemen. The five DeMarco sisters, accompanied by Maestro Al Goodman and his music pupil. The DeMarco sing Paper Moon.
Can be, but it would be make-believe.
Maestro Al Goodman and his eight bars is a concerto orchestra. Have just played That's For Me. Mr. Goodman has more unfinished symphonies on hand than Schubert ever dreamed of. Say, Portland.
Yes?
Is there a copy of today's paper around?
If you want to know the latest news, Edgar Bergen just got married.
No kidding. Charlie McCarthy has a stepmother, hey? Why, that little fugitive from a sawmill, it serves him right.
I'd hate to be a ventriloquist's wife.
What?
If a ventriloquist talks in his sleep at night...
You mean if he throws his voice?
Yes. His wife has to get out of bed and go downstairs to hear what he's saying.
Oh, it's too much trouble. I wouldn't even bother with it. That was interesting. But look, you could see the script before he went to sleep. You would know. Look, Portland. I'm not interested in Charlie. I just want to look at the want ads. I have to find someone who wants to sell a radio.
Is it your radio working?
No, a friend of mine who lives in Jersey went home the other night and took the two. Here's the paper. I wish he took that gag with him, too. here's the paper on this chair. Let us look at these want ads here.
Oh, here's one. We'll exchange swords and eight medals for good alibi.
Signed, General Yamashita. He can use a good alibi at the moment.
Say, here's something.
About a radio? What does it say?
We'll give my portable radio to anyone strong enough to carry it away. M.W., room 40, Gem Hotel.
Gem, you know, that's a little theatrical hotel on 47th Street. I'll see you later, Portland. I'm going over to see M.W., room 40. Room 38, 39, room 40. Here we are. Is M.W. in?
I'm M.W., Monty Woolley.
Well... Well, Mr. Woolley...
If you are the exterminator man, there is wildlife rampant in my mattress.
No, I...
If you are the bellboy, I want a clean towel.
But I...
Look at this towel. Blacker than a side curtain on a hearse.
Now, look, mister.
If you are the manager, I want knobs put on these doors. I'm sick of opening doors with a corkscrew.
But, Monty, I'm Fred Allen.
Fred, what are you doing in this flea bag? Are you furnishing a dog?
Now, Monty, stop complaining. Every hotel in town is crowded. You're lucky to even get in this little theatrical hotel.
Lucky? Well, I'm sharing this room with four acrobats, three bitches, two seals, and a talking hippopotamus.
But there's no light in here. How can you read here at night?
A fire eater lives in the closet.
A fire eater?
Yes, eats with the door open.
But now...
I read by the light of the fire eater's dinner.
Oh, I see. That clarifies that. To me, at least. Well, I'll see you later, Monty. I'm looking for some chump who put an ad in the paper. He wants to give away his radio set.
I am a chump, Fred.
Oh, really?
Here's my radio set. Get it out of my sight.
Monty, you turned against radio?
Well, what is radio? Smiling Irishman, Jingles, L.S., M.F.T., and those jokes radio comedians tell about my beard.
Oh, you mean when you are on their program?
Yes. Last week, a comedian said, Monty, if I lose my raccoon tail, can I borrow your chin for my radiator cap?
I remember one comedian said, you look as though you just ate a Fuller Brush Man, and its samples are sticking out.
Well, another so-called radio wit said, Monty, your face should be hanging down in front of a Scotsman's kilt. Radio bomb.
Now, look, Monty, are you through panning radio?
There's one thing more,
really.
Now, don't cry, folks.
What about them?
No crime ever goes unsolved in radio. Mr. District Attorney never loses a case.
That's right.
Your FBI gets his man every week.
Well, what kind of a crime program would you like to hear, Monty?
Yes, Monty, I'd like to hear the truth.
The truth?
Hughes?
The story of a district attorney or police commissioner who has some trouble with a case.
Oh, I see.
A guy who isn't infallible.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to be on one of those programs.
Say, I think I can fix that for you, Monty.
Fred, it'll bring back my faith in radio. I'd like to see what happens.
Okay, Inspector Woolley, you are on the air.
Mr. Mobbuster. And here he is, ladies and gentlemen, champion of the people, foe of the underworld, that defender of law and order, Mr. Mobbuster.
Thank you.
And what is your thrilling story for tonight, Mr. Mobbuster?
Tonight, I will show you how I dealt with the most dangerous criminal I encountered in my 40 years on the force.
Who was the most dangerous criminal, Mr. Mobbuster?
Charlie the Chicken.
Charlie the Chicken?
Yes. And it all started back in 1936. I was in my office at police headquarters, polishing some brass knuckles with my right-hand man, Mulligan. Out of a clear sky, Mulligan said,
Chief, I don't understand it. Toity is in the office, and you ain't caught one criminal yet.
It's just a slump.
67 unsolved murders this week alone, Chief. The streets is jammed with bodies.
Has anybody noticed it?
Some street cleaner stooled on you, Chief. The newspapers is hinting you're a coward.
I'll come through, Mulligan. They've got to give me time. Miss Pierce, my secretary.
Here's your fan mail, Chief. One postcard.
What does it say?
As long as you are in office, our minds are at ease.
Good. Who's it from?
Miter Incorporated.
Chief, you're the laughing stock of the city. You gotta catch a criminal pretty soon.
If I can just get one case, I'll show the newspapers. Miss Pierce, turn on my shortwave then.
Okay, Chief.
Attention all police. Pulpit truck hijacked in Jersey. 2,000 chickens stolen. Charlie the Chicken suspected. Charlie the Chicken suspected. Attention.
Jeepers, Chief.
Mulligan, that's the case for me.
Charlie the Chicken's the biggest chicken napper in the country. This case will be a feather in your cap, Chief.
Right, Mulligan. Miss Pitt.
Yes, Chief.
Call the newspaper. Tell them I'm bringing in Charlie the Chicken single-handed. Let's go, Mulligan.
Okay, Chief.
This is mighty exciting, Mr. Mobbuster. What happened next?
Well, chickens were disappearing every day. I got a tip that Charlie the Chicken was going to rob the biggest chicken coop in the Bronx.
You were prepared?
Mulligan and I hid in the coop. Day and night we sat on two nests, disguised as chickens. One night as we sat there in the dark, clucking, I heard Mulligan speak.
Chief, I gotta get off this nest. No kidding, if I...
Quiet, Mulligan. Somebody just came in.
Okay, Chief. I'll get back on the nest. We better start clucking again.
Who's clucking? Who's in here? Who's there? Wait till I flash me searchlight. I thought so. Two chickens with joybies on.
I've got you, Charlie the Chicken.
Coppers, eh? Take this.
Can lay the chief on this table, Miss Finn.
Okay, Mulligan. Easy now.
Oh.
We got you back to the office okay, Chief. No reporters even seen you.
What? I can't hear you.
No wonder you can't hear, Chief.
Jeepers. Charlie the Chicken shot off both your ears.
No ears? Well, what will I hang my glasses on?
Gee, you're a sight, Chief. In that chicken coop 3 days? Phew.
Yeah. Let me get some of them chicken feathers off you.
Yeah, I'll comb this mash out of your hair, Chief.
Never mind the mash. Get this egg off my chin. My beard looks like an omelet with a point on it.
Charlie, the chicken's got away clean.
Yes, but I'm a mess. I'll find Charlie the Chicken if it...
I'll get it, Chief. Don't bother getting up. You'll dirty the floor. Hello?
Mr. Mobbuster there?
Yeah.
This is the FBI. Yeah. Charlie the Chicken is going to stick up the Acme Cold Storage plant tonight. Tell Mr. Mobbuster to get going.
Okay, John Egger.
Who was it, Mulligan?
The FBI, John Egger, personally. Charlie the Chicken is holding up the Acme Coal Storage Plant, Chief, and the job is tonight.
This time, Mulligan, Charlie the Chicken is a dead duck. Let's go.
Okay, Chief.
You've got us all biting our nails, Mr. Mobbuster. Did you catch Charlie?
Not exactly. Miss Finn, Mulligan, and I went to the coal storage plant. We were hiding behind three icicles. I heard Mulligan say...
Shh, shh, quiet, Chief. Charlie the Chicken is in that icebox.
Good. Good, I've got him trapped.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, what's your next move, Chief?
Mulligan, you and Miss Finn go back to the office and call the reporters and photographers.
But, Chief...
I'm bringing in Charlie the Chicken alone.
Good luck, Chief. Let's beat it, Miss Finn.
Now, I'll open this icebox door.
Who opened that door?
Come out with your hands up, Charlie the Chicken.
Oh, yeah? Take this, copper. Oh! Now, Mr. Mobbuster, I'm locking you in this icebox.
You can lay the chief on the floor, Mulligan.
Okay, Miss Finn. He's a solid block of ice. I'll put him down over here. Hey, that was a good idea of yours, carrying the chief home with these ice tongs.
2 weeks in that ice box, he looks like a human rink.
I'll chip away some of this ice and see if the chief is still alive.
Chip a hole near his mouth.
Okay. As soon as I chip off this little chunk, his mouth will be free.
How do you feel, chief?
Ooh, like a big popsicle. Get me out of this frozen kimono.
A couple of more chops, chief.
There you are, chief.
Ooh, what an experience. I'm colder than a snowman's clavicle.
Hey, Chief, your nose is gone.
Charlie, the chicken's a sure shot, Chief.
I know. My ears are gone. My nose is shut off. I'm starting to lose face.
Hey, Chief, why don't you call off this manhunt?
Hey, Chief, this code message just came on the teletype.
Eureka! The address of Charlie the Chicken's hideout. Come on, Mulligan.
Okay, Chief. Is this the joint, Chief?
Yes. Charlie the Chicken hangs out in this bowery saloon.
Yeah?
Quit.
Hey, you better be careful, Chief. Chief, this joint looks creepy.
Hey, bartender, is Charlie around?
Look behind you, bud.
Clap hands, Chief. Here comes Charlie.
At last, Charlie, I've got to.
Nobody's taking Charlie the Chicken alive, copper. Take that!
Gosh! What happened then, Mr. Mobbuster?
Well, Charlie the Chicken made his final getaway. He disappeared completely.
And you?
I was removed from office. I got out of the charity ward. Practically and partially recovered from my wounds, I was out of work for 9 years until I got this job on the radio.
What became of Charlie?
Charlie the Chicken sold all his stolen chickens in the black market for a fabulous sum and is now living in Florida under the alias of Gordon the Goose. He has a 50-room mansion with a private beach, 3 yachts, 12 speedboats, and a private plane. He spends his days at the track and is engaged to a beautiful movie star.
And so, Mr. Mobbuster, the moral of this story is...
crime does not pay.
thank Monty Woolley for joining us tonight. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, next Sunday night, the Fred Allen Show brings you comedy. Comedy, that is. Drama. Drama.
I'm finished, Ronald. I'm at the end of my rope.
Cheer up, old girl. Cheer up. I'll wind up your yo-yo again.
And our guest will be...
Boris Karloff.
Who? Good night.
Fred Allen will be back again next week at the same time. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.